Good morning. I'd like to welcome all of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and also those who are joining us in our worship service through our church, you know, YouTube channel and TV and radio. I believe you have the same blessings we are enjoying here today in the sanctuary. Please know that we remember all of you out there. And we have a special announcement today for you. Four of our church members attended the Advocacy Day last Wednesday at the Capitol. So please, we will have some reports about that.
Good morning. Terry Townley, Jason Milligan, Fritz Hyde, who couldn't be here this morning, and I met with our legislators in Lansing this past Wednesday. Over 250 United Methodists gathered to support legislation that would improve access to mental health resources. It was a day of butterflies proclaiming hope. The planning committee had asked for 600 of them, but instead they got over 1,000. And so, yeah, they were amazed. So they asked everyone to take a butterfly from another church home with them to remember the day. And at the end of the day, Bishop Bard hoped that we would produce a butterfly effect. You know, a butterfly flaps its wings and a continent away, the weather changes. Well, in our case, we hope that our butterflies will convince our legislators to vote in favor of House Bill 4707, among others. So Advocacy Day is over, but the legislation is still in process. And so we'd like to encourage all of you to call or write our Senator Kristen McDonald Rivett and our Representative Bill G. Schuette. We'd like you to share your story, as we did, about mental health and mental illness with them. Both of them assured us that our stories matter. So if you don't know what to say about HB 4707, you can just speak from your heart about the need for better mental health care. We hope you'll add your voices to ours, because together we can take away the stigma of mental illness and create an environment of compassion and inclusion.
I was indeed grateful to be a United Methodist on that day. There were semicolon butterflies from United Methodist churches all over Michigan, fluttering on the Capitol lawns. We connected with Representative Bill G. Schuette and Senator Kristen McDonald Rivett in a real way. We told our stories and asked for their support of House Bill 4707 to make mental health care more accessible using insurance. When we asked Representative Bill G. Schuette what we could do, he replied that we could talk to people here in Midland. So we are here with our semicolon butterflies and telling the story, and we are going to ask you too to further the conversation with your friends and family, and then either email or write or call, whatever is easiest for you, your legislator. And we can all then share the hope of the semicolon butterfly. Thank you.
Okay. Why don't you give them a round of applause? Thank you. So we have announcements from our scholarship, you know, committee. Pastor Bethany?
Good morning, Midland First.
Good morning.
I wanted to remind you that April 18th is the last day for scholarship applications. That's about a month from now. And so if you or anyone you know would like to apply for a scholarship, there are applications available on the reception desk and on the website. And if you have any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you. From choir.
Hello, everybody. Just a quick reminder, if you're interested in singing for the community service for Good Friday at noon next week, the week after, yeah. We have a rehearsal today at 1 o'clock. That's with a whole community choir thing we've got going on. It looks like probably around 30 people or so far. So if you're interested, it's at 1 o'clock today for rehearsal. Thanks.
Okay. So why don't you stand up right now and greet one another? Please do not stay where you are. Just move around.
Thank you. please continue to stand and join me in the call to worship. We are all one in the body of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us honor one another as brothers and sisters in Christ by building each other up in love, pointing each other towards the holiness of God, and encouraging each other in their spiritual gifts. You may be seated, and the children may come forward for the children's blessing.
While the kids are coming up, I'm going to ask everyone else to grab a copy of The Faith We Sing from right in front of you there. It should be tucked in front of the hymnal. Come on up, friends. Got a lot of green today, huh? Goes with the green carpet and the greenery and spring happening in a couple of days. Isn't it? It's St. Patrick's Day, which is a ton of fun. Hey, we're going to talk about new life in Sunday school today, and we're going to talk about what that means when we follow Jesus. And one of the things we're going to think about are some symbols, and a symbol is something that represents something else. So it could be something kind of common that we see all the time. So I'm going to show you some symbols, and you tell me if you know anything about what these mean. It's a symbol of God, and anyone can shout it out. It's not just for the kids. So what do you think of when you see a dove? Peace, and God, and the Holy Spirit, especially when he's holding that, dove's holding that olive branch in his mouth. That makes it even more symbolic. How about this one? Anyone? Love, okay. What does an anchor mean when we're thinking about life with Jesus? What do you think, Brian? Yes, okay, so a boat. So a balance, steadiness, strength. So if I take my boat out this summer and I throw out my anchor, or when Jesus was around and he hung out with a lot of fishermen, they threw out their anchor, it was to keep their boat stay where it was. Yeah, so the anchor is a symbol of life in Christ. My son's church is called Cross and Anchor. That's how important that anchor is. Thank you. Thanks, Brian. Here's a big one.
Jesus dying
for us, for each of us, huh? So the cross is a super important symbol of life with Jesus. Let's do a couple more.
Rainbow.
Happiness, promise. A big word for that is covenant. God made a really important covenant with us as humans. So a rainbow is a big symbol of, okay, we got two more.
Easter!
Okay, so I decorated this egg.
The Easter miracle.
Okay, I'm going to have a little closer up answer to this one.
Coming back to life.
Yeah, new life, coming back to life. That when we follow Jesus, we get new life every single day. And that at the end of our life, we have this assurance that we're gonna spend the rest of our life in heaven. It's beautiful. Okay.
Today.
Some people know there's an old story that St. Patrick would use what was found around Ireland, which were a lot of clovers, along with the rest of Europe, and that the shamrock can stand for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Some people also look at that shamrock or three-leaf clover and say faith, hope, and love. And that's what Sunday school is all about, helping these little ones understand that our God is a God of faith, hope, and love on St. Patrick's Day and every day. So we're going to dig deeper into that in Sunday school today. As our prayer, I'm going to ask you to open up The Faith We Sing to 2166. We sang this in second service last week, and it was just too beautiful to not use as our prayer today. This is sometimes called St. Patrick's breastplate, his prayer, which was really much longer than this. But this is, again, what we want our kids to understand about living with Jesus. It's to the tune of Morning Has Broken. Let's give it a try. Amen. All right.
garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear as I fall in here, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy
Thank you, thank you so much, Joyful Bells, and we love the oldies. They did a wonderful job. Why don't you give them a round of applause one more time? Thank you. I'd like to let you know that Henry Stephens, he passed away last Friday. And please, you know, continually pray for Carol and her, you know, children. The burial service will be this coming Tuesday at 1 o'clock, but this service is only for the families. And please, you know, remember them continually in your prayers. Let us pray together. God, we give thanks to you for letting us know about your love through your Son Jesus. Because of him, we have found our peace, which cannot be paralleled with anything in the world. Because of him, we have our new life, the eternal life in your kingdom to come. Because of him, we are called to be your family, to actualize your kingdom on earth. God, forgive our sins for not recognizing your presence of goodness and love. Help us grow continually so that we can bear the fruit of the Spirit, deepen our understanding of your love for us and for the world. God, remember the nations who are in turmoil and life-threatening situations such as Haiti, Palestine, and Israel, Ukraine and Russia, Myanmar, countries in Africa, India, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Philippines, Mexico, and Colombia, where there is grieving, doubt, injury, and despair, we pray for your shalom, hope, forgiveness, healing, restoration, and new light. God, there are church members who have lost their loved ones. Please surround them with your peace and comfort, and help them find your presence at this time. God, we are grateful for being called to be your means of grace to our church family, but also for the people in our community, near and far. Now we pray the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please, you know, take out our French pass and let us know you are here today with us. And we really appreciate your continued support for the missions we have at our church. Please continually support the missions we have through your prayers and also through your monetary support too. Ushers, please come forward.
Thank you. One of these days I'll have a service where I can just stay in one spot. Let us stand as we sing the doxology together as an offering as our gifts come forward.
Dear God, thank you so much for calling us to be together with your church. And also, God, thank you so much for giving us the mission that we have to carry out on earth. God, we are yours. Help us to be in your power of the Holy Spirit so that we can continually reveal your glory in the world. We give these offerings with our lives. God, please accept them and use them only for your kingdom. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. Scripture reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 26. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please bow your head and join me in the prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for being with us today in your Holy Spirit. God, we open our hearts towards you. Please, God, speak to our hearts. We will obey your will, and we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. As we are continually doing the Purpose-Driven Life campaign this Lenten season, we delve into each of the purposes of our lives from God using Pastor Rick Warren's book. What is the first purpose? Do you remember? Worship. Yes, worship is our response to God's love. The second purpose of our lives is fellowship. What is fellowship? Fellowship is all about sharing. We belong to God and we belong to one another. What is the third purpose? Discipleship or sanctification. We were created to be more like Jesus Christ. This discipleship is a lifelong process. We will be continually become more like Jesus Christ throughout our lives. Today, we are going to explore fourth purpose. You were shaped for serving God. You were shaped for serving God. It's about ministry. Let me share with you some important scriptures on serving others. We are simply God's servants. Each one of us does the work which the Lord gave him to do. I planted the seed, Apollos watered the plant, but it was God who made the plant grow. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It is God himself who has made us what we are and given us new lives from Christ Jesus. And long ages ago, he planned that we should spend these lives in helping others. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. God paid a great price for you, so use your body to honor God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. So then, my friends, because of God's great mercy to us, I appeal to you, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. This is a true worship that you should offer. Okay, if we know the grace of God, the mercy of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and we have a new life, then we have to use our lives to help other people in need. And also our ministry for others is our true worship. Amen? Amen. What about the reality we face and many churches throughout the United States? Many churches are dying because there are parts of the body that do not function for the rest of the body. Let me quote Rick Warren about this. What happens when one part of your body fails to function? You get sick. The rest of your body suffers. Imagine if your liver decided to start living for itself. I'm tired. I don't want to serve the body anymore. I want a year off just to be fed. I've got to do what's best for me. Let some other part take over. What would happen? Your body would die. Today, thousands of local churches are dying because of Christians who are unwilling to serve. They sit on the sidelines as spectators, and the body suffers. The real problem of the decline of the church is not out there, but here inside the church. The spiritually dormant members who are keeping their spiritual gift from being used for the whole body. We must understand that God has gifted us to serve Him and His church. The spiritual gift we have are a clear indication that God loves us and cares for His church. Our spiritual gifts are the blessings from God to build up His church together. As we use our spiritual gifts, we can grow to be more like Jesus Christ and deepen our love for our church family. I think many of you have already experienced that. The more I serve at the church, the more I feel I love my church. I want to care for my church members who are in need. Which means, yes, you are growing in your knowledge about God, in your love for others. So when we serve other people through various ministries we have at our church, we always have to check on ourselves to see if we are bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is love. Think about it. What is the motivation of our ministry for other people? Our love from God. Because of our appreciation for the salvation I have through our Lord Jesus Christ, I want to serve. God's mercy and grace and His love is our motivation to serve other people. And what is the fruit of our ministries? Our love. We can become more like Jesus Christ. We can experience that our deepened understanding about Jesus Christ and about His love and also about our love for others. So the motivation of our ministries is love. The fruit of our ministries is also love. Let me quote Romans 8:28. We know that God is always at work for the good of everyone who loves Him. They are the ones God has chosen for His purpose. By doing so, we are being used by God for God's purpose. Today's scripture teaches us about how God intends His church to function for one another. In other words, how a healthy church functions in relation to our fourth purpose, ministry. The healthy church functions as one body. Let me repeat it for you. The healthy church functions as one body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 13 and 20. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body. So it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. As it is, there are many members, yet one body. Again, in Galatians chapter 3:28, Apostle Paul repeatedly emphasized the importance of being one body in Jesus Christ and also in the Holy Spirit. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. I still remember when I was in the seminary, one of the New Testament scholars, he said, this is the most important scripture in Apostle Paul's theology, because in Jesus Christ, all the worlds we can experience already have fallen down. There is no world in Jesus Christ. That is why he believed this is the most single important scripture in Apostle Paul's theology. There is no gap between us. In Jesus Christ, we are all in one body together. Then how can we be one body? First of all, we have to acknowledge the sovereignty of God over the body. 1 Corinthians 12:18. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. Think about your life. How have we been ended in our church? Think about my life. I came to the United States almost 26 years ago. And I never expected to serve a church in the English-speaking congregation. I never expected to live in Midland, Michigan. I never expected to become a senior pastor at our church. It must be the same with you. Because you moved to Midland because of your job here, or because you want to be close to your family members here. But God is using our situations to reveal his purposes. The reasons why you are here, it is because of our God. And we are all in God's wonderful hands of his, you know, special plan. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Amen. God is in charge of our church, not your pastors or team leaders at the church. It is God who leads us and gives us directions for the future. That is why we have to depend on God, inviting him to be with us in our worship, meetings, small groups, ministries, and missions. As we acknowledge the sovereignty of God over the body, we can find we belong to this one body. Secondly, as we focus more on the weaker part of the body, we can experience the unity of the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 22 through 24. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker and indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body. One of the important assets of Christian leaders is encouragement. Let me quote some scriptures on the power of our words from the book of Proverbs. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Encouragement can be simply defined as the kind of expression that helps someone wants to be a better Christian, even when life is rough. Larry Crabb and Dan Allender co-authored the book Encouragement, The Unexpected Power of Building Others Up. The thesis of the book is this: encouragement is the careful selection of the words that are intended to influence another person meaningfully toward increased godliness. What does that mean? To become more like Jesus Christ, to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We need encouragement. I remember when I came to Midland first, 10 years ago, some of our church members were struggling when they tried to listen to my sermon because of my wonderful accent. And J.D., Reverend Landis, you know, J.D., he came to me and said, John, I know you always have a wonderful sermon, but people really want to listen to carefully your sermon. So please, practice your English continually at home. He was really serious and very kind and very encouraging. So whenever he felt I did a wonderful job in my sermon, he said, Jung, you did such a wonderful job. Just keep doing that. People want to listen to your sermon. It was quite an encouragement. And also there were church members in the beginning who complained about my sermon. I cannot understand him. But later they said, John, it's not your fault. It's my hearing problem. But I knew their heart. They tried to, you know, take good care of me. But that was such a wonderful encouragement. So I want to, you know, deliver the message more clearly by practicing my English. And there was a church member who was a former teacher, and she trained me how to preach for a month. Now she is now in Wisconsin. But she always encouraged me, John, I do not understand why they do not understand your sermon. But I knew it was her encouragement. I hope you can understand my sermon today. To be more like Jesus Christ, we need encouragement. That's not the things you are doing. That is the thing God is doing through you to the people who need that. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thirdly, our weakness can be a powerful channel of grace from God through which people can experience God's power. God's power for healing, restoration, renewal, and salvation. God can use our wounds, hurts, and weaknesses to interweave His church strongly and connectedly. Our problem has a purpose. Rick Warren says, God wants you to have a Christ-like ministry on earth. That means other people are going to find healing in your wounds. Your greatest life message and your most effective ministry will come out of your deepest hurt. The things you are most embarrassed about, most ashamed of, and most reluctant to share are the very tools God can use most powerfully to heal others. Second Corinthians 13:4, for even though it was in weakness that he was put to death on the cross, it is by God's power that he lives. In union with him, we also are weak, but in our relations with you, we shall share God's power in his life. Last but not least, understanding our reality that we have already been connected together helps us strengthen our destiny of one body together. 1 Corinthians 12:26, if one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. This scripture speaks to us about our belonging to one another through the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of peace. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6, we can find what the Holy Spirit has done for us in Jesus Christ, which is our unity. So we have to do our best to preserve the unity of the Spirit as we recognize the one body in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 4. Do your best to preserve the unity which the Spirit gives by means of the peace that binds you together. There is one body and one Spirit, just as there is no one hope to which God has called you. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There is one God and Father of all people, who is Lord of all, works through all, and is in all. If you read repeatedly the New Testament, you will find that God already has made us to be connected together in unity in Jesus Christ. Already he has done that. The things we have to do is we have to preserve that unity we have in our Lord Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit. We are already united together in Jesus Christ. Amen? Preserve that unity. Let me close my sermon with a story about Pastor Rick Warren. Pastor Rick Warren lost his youngest son, Matthew, in 2013. For 27 years, Matthew had struggled with a mental illness. He described his son as having a tender heart and a tortured mind. No parent ever wants to outlive their children. It was a really tough time for Pastor Rick and his wife. 4 months after his son's funeral, Pastor Rick shared this with the world. I found support in my small group of believers. But most importantly, through God, we don't need to speak a bunch of words when someone loses a loved one. And being present is sometimes more important than anything else. The deeper the pain, the fewer words you use. Showing up to support people by simply being present is oftentimes better than trying to heal with words. Pastor Rick Warren believes your greatest ministry will come out of your deepest pain. Since 2013, God has redirected his ministry to think about people who are mentally, emotionally, and physically weak. His churches Celebrate Recovery Program has been used by over 35,000 churches in the United States to help anyone who is suffering from habits, hurts, and pains from the past that are affecting their present and future. Brothers and sisters, please know that God can use our problems, pains, and hurts for His purpose. That is what God is doing in our lives. Please respond to God's nudging in your heart obediently. Let us pray together. Dear God, we are so grateful that we can be your body together. God, please help us to preserve the unity we have already in your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, don't be afraid of anything. May God go with you wherever you go. May our Lord Jesus Christ continually show His goodness and mercy to you. May the Holy Spirit give you strength and power so that you can preserve the unity of Jesus Christ in your church continually. Now, go in peace. Amen.